You're listening to Vatican Radio.
A three-day event entitled Living Fully 2016, Disability, Culture and Faith is taking place in the Vatican. The initiative is organised by the Kairos Forum and takes place under the auspices of the Pontifical Council for Culture, as well as other organisations that work with disability. The aim of the gathering is to celebrate the lives and stories of disabled people within culture and faith, and introduces the study of disability theology from within a cultural perspective. Amongst the participants are Mary O'Mara, Executive Director for the Department of Special Needs Ministries for the Archdiocese of Washington, and Terry O'Mara, Executive Director for the International Catholic Foundation for the Service of Deaf Persons. The O'Maras dropped into Vatican Radio on the first day of the event and told me the conference aims for a cultural change that will transform disabled people into the protagonists of society and the church, on a par with everyone else.
It's an opportunity for those that are leaders in this field to come together and discuss the different issues, particularly that involving disability and spirituality, so the theology behind disability. It's an opportunity for all of us to come together and share best practices and ideas and new movements in our areas of the world.
What is the theology behind disability?
Interestingly enough, it has a lot to do with being created in an imago Dei. So we are all made in the image and likeness of God, and by that we are loved equally in the eyes of God with all persons. So that idea of dignity and the dignity of the human person and finding within that person all their giftedness and the blessings and graces that are poured upon our church by those persons with disabilities.
Is the encounter ecumenical or interreligious? Do you know if the participants are from different faith-based organizations?
It is, yes. One of our speakers this morning actually was a Baptist minister, and he gave a wonderful presentation that talked just on that, about the spirituality of persons with disabilities.
How is it going to evolve? I see that there are various speakers. It's a three-day conference, plus today, perhaps.
Correct, a symposium today to start us off. So yes, we'll have various speakers from around the world, leaders in disability ministry, where we again can see what is happening around the world and sometimes open our eyes to greater possibilities in the work that we do both locally on a diocesan level, but then how international foundations can also rally around to support areas that may not have supports that we could, as an international foundation, provide those for them.
In the year 2016, are there still people out there that do not have support?
Absolutely. And sadly, I would say that is the greatest percentage of those currently without supports.
So we're talking about social support, basically, right?
Well, yes, but especially those supports that would celebrate the giftedness of persons with disabilities in the life of the church, where they are themselves agents of evangelization and not solely recipients. So as Pope Benedict all called us to really recognize the giftedness and to call persons towards their baptismal call of being agents for that catechesis and not simply recipients, and that we as typical persons then make the space for that to happen and allow for persons with disabilities to let those gifts shine within our church. I think that was beautifully shown here in the Vatican just 2 weeks ago with the Holy Father's celebration, where all the participants of that particular liturgy had a disability themselves.
How much energy has Pope Francis given your, can we call it, cause, with his call to recognize the Lord in every single person?
Such a deep hope has emerged within our communities, plural, because it's not just one community, but the world of disabilities has many communities. And that has just been inspired by deep hope by our Holy Father across the continuum of the disability communities.
Would you like to tell me about your specific contribution?
I think the foundation, the International Catholic Foundation for the Service of Deaf Persons, founded many years ago, but had the object of making sure that deaf people had access to religious education. But we have moved a little bit from the religious education to making sure that people are actively participating in the full life of the church, even though previously they had been, but it was more, I suppose, involving workers with deaf people to bring the message to the deaf person. Whereas now we have moved to a model where the deaf person is the instrument of the education. So what we've been doing is making sure that deaf people internationally at different conferences, meetings, symposiums, like, for example, the Eucharistic Congress, both in Dublin and recently in Cebu in the Philippines, have been accessible to deaf people, but deaf people participating in it by way of a deaf track within the Congress, so that they are fully integrated into whatever is happening and not just recipients of what's happening. But deaf people are making the presentations, deaf people are involved in the liturgy, deaf people are involved in all aspects of the of those particular congresses, every whatever. So that's the goal of the foundation, and you know, our purpose is to make sure that that goal is reached. And it links in with a lot of what Mary does within her own archdiocese and what we are doing as an international foundation. So it's making sure that diocese communities, but especially communities where maybe the church wasn't as strong, but the deaf local community is strong, and where we endeavour to facilitate that community in making sure that they have access to everything that's happening.
You're speaking of an international foundation. Does that mean it reaches across the globe?
With a hope it does. I mean, we have representations in as many countries as we can. And, you know, recently in this Cebu, we had good representation, especially from the Asia area. But there were people from the United States, from England, from there. So it is an international organization, and Australia as well.
One cannot but help think of disabled people in a lot of developing countries and how they still suffer not only discrimination but the stigma of being on the margins of society.
Yes. So when speaking to culture, to that as well, in recognizing and respecting various cultures and bringing that idea of everyone being an Imagio Dei, everyone being equal in dignity in the eyes of God, it's countercultural in many, many countries. So there's much, much work to do, and Living Fully 2016 here this week is just yet another way we have to get that message out.
Will deaf people be protagonists during Living Fully 2016?
To be honestly, I'm not totally sure how many deaf people will be involved in the actual, but I know there is going to be access for deaf people at the conference. They were fully involved 2 weeks ago with many things that were happening here at the Vatican. In 2008, we had a conference on a deaf person in the life of the Church held at the Synod Hall in the Vatican. And that was a major step in highlighting deaf people's life in the Church. And, you know, there was some wonderful recommendations that came from there. So I think all of that has been a progression of work that has allowed the deaf people to be now recognised as part of that community, the Church community, not just a separate church. We don't have a separate church. We have one church, one Pope. So it's all we're all together, not separate and into different communities. And that's, I think, what Mary does within the diocese, I think.
Our bishops' conference was very strong in a pastoral statement where they stated there can be no separate church. We are one flock with a single shepherd. And that is part of what we do in the Archdiocese of Washington under the auspices of Cardinal Worrell, who has been a magnificent support for persons with disabilities in establishing a White Mass in 2009 to establishing a conference for persons with disabilities and those who are deaf. So under Cardinal Worrell's leadership, we have truly grown in our capacity to serve and support persons who are deaf and those with disabilities in the Archdiocese of Washington, where Gallaudet University resides. So our deaf population is a little skewed by having the only liberal arts university for the deaf in the world in our diocese. So there's much work to be done, but we are very grateful for an ordinary who has been so very supportive in our work.
What are your hopes for the outcome of this conference? Where do we go from here?
Forward. And I think into deeper relationship that is more of a dialogue. For so long now, we have been talking about persons who are deaf and persons with disabilities. We have been providing access by ramps or by having an interpreter present. But I would love to see now a culture moving from access to belonging, where we're not just talking about, but that we are in communion with. So a sense of communio and having that one church, that one flock with a single shepherd. So that's my dream, would be to see that progression from access to belonging begin to roll out. The Holy Father set quite a high bar just 2 weeks ago here in the Vatican by demonstrating that here.
Do you get the feeling that the young generations are more in touch with the world of disability and readier to include disabled people?
I believe so, especially with the onset of mainstreaming, where very young children in their academic settings don't really see a difference. And young children don't make those differentials.
Absolutely.
When you grow up in such a culture and when you grow up with such exposure, it then is a natural response to not see a difference. So I see great hope as moving forward that those that are going to be following along behind us and doing and working in this ministry will do so in concert alongside persons who are deaf and those with disabilities.
Would you like to close the conversation?
I mean, my hope has always been that, because of my involvement with deaf people over the many, many years, and that kind of thing, is to see deaf people as the givers of and not the receivers. And they're the people and the leaders to make sure that deaf people become the leaders in their community. Deaf people become leaders within the church. And hopefully we'll see more and more deaf people becoming priests, sisters, within communities, and that they are deacons, and that they can lead the deaf community in the life of the church rather than being, as they previously have been, the recipients of
mercy, charity.
Yeah, right, yeah. But all done in any bad way, but our object is now to make sure that deaf people who have received now are the givers and that they are now in positions, because most deaf people are educated to a high degree. They have the capabilities of being involved in anything, in any part of the life of the church. So to make sure that that is their object and their focus.
It's just beautiful time to be here in Rome with all of these wonderful things happening, supporting persons with disabilities. It's just so inspiring to be here and watch this conference, Living Fully 2016, unfold with all the hope that it's bringing.
And then as we're coming soon to the end of the Year of Mercy, but this Year of Mercy has been a real blessing, I think, on the church. It's been powerful in it, and I think it's enabled us to develop the work we've been doing, and it's kind of given us the impetus to continue with the work.
And those were Mary O'Mara, Executive Director for the Department of Special Needs Ministries for the Archdiocese of Washington, and Terry O'Mara, Executive Director for the International Catholic Foundation for the Service of Deaf Persons.